God of the rest, God of the break, how great is your faithfulness. You're not done yet. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no one could ever comprehend. Your word will be enough, your promise we will trust.
This morning. Thanks for joining us on our live stream and in the church this morning. We serve an awesome God, don't we? He is not done yet, and I love that song because he is the God who is always working for our good, for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So as we worship this morning, I just want us to set our hearts on the God who does miracles, who does the impossible for us. Let's sing this together.
Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, presence that fades, are never enough. And you came along, and put me back together. Better than you, there's nothing. the dust to life and sang the stars to form. The darkness fears your voice, I drove it back before. And though the night is long, I know your light will drive it back once more.
This morning, we're going to introduce a new song to you. This song is called King of Kings. You may have heard it before on the radio, but it's a beautiful song that just elevates and glorifies the Lord. And the chorus says, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. We hope it blesses you this morning. Let's sing this together.
Oh, Let's pray together. Holy God, you are the King of Kings. It is only you that can bring resurrection from the dead. You bring resurrection when we do die and are glorified and with you in heaven, but you bring resurrection to the small, the medium, and the large things that seem to be dead or dying in our life. Because of that, you give us hope. We have a future in you. And we ask that through your Holy Spirit, you would bolster our trust in you. A trust in who you are. A trust in what you do in us and through us. A trust that you will lead us along the path that you have for us. A trust that inspires us to move beyond the mediocre to that which is truly heavenly, a great aspiration. Lord, as we run this race of life, help us to run with purpose, to the end that we would finish our race and receive the prize that doesn't perish. Each and every day we look to you. And we're reminded of all that Jesus, you did for us upon the cross. Your forgiveness of our sins. The freedom that you give us through your truth. Allow us in these moments of worship to bask in that reality. To receive once again your forgiveness for the sins that we've committed. And as we confess them to you, Lord, remind us that in your forgiveness we have a power to change the way that we think and act. That we have the opportunity to do better tomorrow in terms of revealing our love and our commitment to you. As we move from praying about our own mind, heart, and soul, we think of those on a world scale, especially those missionaries that are carrying your word. We think of leaders in our country, corporate leaders, legislative leaders, leaders who are on the front line. Lord, all the supportive cast, so to speak, in all that is taking place. We pray for those who need healing this morning. Some need physical healing, some healing of their emotions. Healing of the thoughts that come into their minds. Lord, as you heal our soul, you heal our mind and our heart, as well as our bodies. You are the King of Kings, and we want to give glory and honor to you today. Through your Holy Spirit, enable us to feel your presence, your power, and your peace that passes all human understanding. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So keep waving to people as you sit down. I do want you to know, Christy, you have to stop right there. Today is Christy's birthday. And we don't often sing to you, but we'll do that today. We're going to sing happy birthday to you.
Yay!
Yay. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Christy. Happy birthday to you, and many more. All right, so send her cards and emails and encourage her. Great set this morning. Thank you very much. The other thing I would announce to you is that children are on campus again. So that means we have not only power hour on Sunday morning, but we have our midweek program, as well as Kids X, which is kind of a high energy program that we do once a month on Friday night for fourth and fifth graders. So children, come on back. We're ready to help you stay safe distance from one another, which is hard every once in a while. But yes, we're on campus, and we invite you to be with us. Next Sunday on the 31st, following the third service, we're having our annual congregational meeting. A few extra things will happen this year. Yes, you can be present, or you can pick up the Zoom link that will be a part of my pastor's letter out to you on Friday. We'll not only receive the annual report and hear about where our bottom line was at the end of 2020, we'll receive a report from the nominating committee. Those elders and deacons that have not been installed will be installed, and those that have been in the last couple of membership classes will have an opportunity to profess their faith before you that day as well. So tune in right a little after noon should be the time that we gather. We're moving towards our time of looking at God's Word, and today we have our finance manager, Doug Brundage, reading our scripture passage.
Good morning. Romans 8, 1 through 11. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you.
Last week we talked about leaning into the biggest battle in life, and that's not a battle out there. It's a battle inside of each one of us. It's the battle of putting off our old nature and putting on our new nature. I'm a person that believes that all of us have a better idea of, well, the better person that we can become, that we want to become. And as we seek to be more and more the person of Christ that he created us to be, we find we still do some battling between our old nature and our new nature. We prefer the new nature. The reason for that is we know that our old nature is holding us back and holding us down. And we want to make progress in life. We want to enjoy and celebrate life. And it's hard to do those positive things when we're giving in to our old sinful nature. Paul put it well. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. He says, throw off your old nature. Instead, put on your new nature. Throwing off your old nature, it's a little harder than it sounds, doesn't it? And the reason for that is that, well, our old nature brings out, well, negative minus things in our life. They are things that really are self-destructive to us as we want to move forward and become more and more the men and women of Christ that he calls us to be and fashioned us to be. What are some of the characteristics, common characteristics of our old nature? Well, one is it makes us feel a lot of guilt and shame when we sin. When we don't do the right thing, it makes us feel bad. And it is good to feel bad for a certain amount of time. I don't want to tell you it's seconds or minutes. It could even be days and weeks and months and maybe even years. But we don't want that guilt and shame to be the order of the day in our life. We don't want that to be the dynamic by which we live because, well, we're forgiven. Guilt and shame, how about those uncontrollable thoughts? Our mind kind of races to things that, well, they're just not godly thoughts. They're old nature thoughts, they're sinful thoughts, they're not productive thoughts. That often leads to compulsive behavior. We not only get stuck thinking about things, but then we start acting in the wrong way, an unhealthy way, a sinful way. All of this turns to sinful behavior, addiction, compulsion. That leads us to a sense of fear. Will I always be like this? Isn't God really displeased with me when I'm like this? Doesn't he walk away from me? No, God doesn't walk away from us. We become fearful that this is the way that we are and we can't get better. Oh, that's always the old nature talking, isn't it? When we get in the cycle of fear, it causes us to feel hopeless. Things will never get better. And we need things to get better. We need to beat back that discouragement. We need to lean into the possibilities of life, and well, we're fearful and now we're hopeless about change, that we could ever change, that better person inside of us would ever, will get out and be the real us. Hopelessness often leads us to the place where we feel bitter. We become envious of other people. We start comparing ourselves to others, and we become very, very jealous. Why can't we be like them? The positive things that we want to become, we can become. But we know we're not putting off our old nature when we're bitter and envious because we're comparing ourselves to other people and we're jealous. And add all of that together and you have insecurity. We're uncertain about who we are. We get discouraged by the foolish things that we do. And our life is not built upon a rock. Our life is built upon a sand. And the tide is coming in. See, these are the things that are a part of our old nature. They're negative things. They're self-destructive things. And we have to take them and we have to put them off so that we can put on the new renewed nature that we have in Jesus Christ. Well, how do we do that? How do we lean in? How do we make the change that we want to make in putting on our new nature? Well, here's a few things to try. One great suggestion is to remind yourself daily all the things that Jesus did for you, did for me. The fact that he came to this planet, the fact that he becomes a model and example for us as he lived his life, and then all that he achieved for us personally and eternally with his death upon the cross and his resurrection. We need to remind ourselves of that each and every day. It's Romans 8, 1 and 2. We need to remind ourselves that there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now that raises a great question, thinking daily about Jesus. It raises the question, do we belong to him? Are we truly a son and a daughter, part of the adoptive family of Jesus Christ? Well, not everybody belongs. You know you belong when you've confessed your sins and received forgiveness. You know you belong when you've allowed the Holy Spirit to empower your life with spiritual power. And if we're going to put off our old nature, we're going to need some spiritual power, because I don't know about you, but my willpower is not enough. And so belonging to Christ is not about a list of bad habits we're trying to offload, or even an endeavor that, well, now we're going to try our hardest and do these good things. To belong to Christ is a heart issue. Once we've given our heart, once we've given our will over to Jesus, then we have the spiritual power we need and we want. As we belong to Christ, we can put off our old nature. And as we belong to Christ, we can put on our new nature. Again, it's not about living a life that says, I'll take this and add Jesus to it. It is about having Jesus be the Lord and Savior of your life, as we talked about last week. And as the Lord of our life, we need to every day remind ourselves God loves us in a powerful and personal way. And as we understand this character relationship, this heart relationship with Jesus, then we find that putting off the old nature as well, it's not as hard as it used to be. And that one of the great pleasures of life is to put on the new nature that God has in store for us. When you belong to Christ, you don't want to live your old way. You want to live your new way. And why not? This life is practice for when we get to heaven. And as we put on our new nature, our renewed nature more and more, as we become more and more sanctified, we're being readied for eternity. We begin to experience eternity more and more. The glory of God in our heart, our soul, our mind. And once that's on point, then the behaviors we wish to discard, the attitudes and thinking that we want to put on, oh, they happen as a natural part of faith and life. Because God has something good in store for all of us, for all of His children. A second thing to think about is that the Holy Spirit can help us with the thoughts of our mind. He gives us better thoughts if we allow Him to. Romans 8:5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they think about things that please the Spirit. So what is your mindset? What is your mindset? Is your mindset to address God's agenda for your life? Is your mindset that you're going to do all that you can do, mind, heart, and soul, to put on your new nature? Or are you still allowing yourself to be controlled by your old sinful nature? Now, I know my mindset changes every time I sin. I understand my selfishness. I understand the limited reinforcement of my old nature. And so part of our prayer, part of my prayer every day is, Lord, renew my mind. Allow me to think along the lines of your scriptures, your commandments, your instructions, your guidelines, your suggestions. And a sure sign that I become self-focused and selfish is, oh, going to my old nature. Instead of choosing to let the Holy Spirit adjust my mindset heavenly, focusing on Him and what He's done for me, focusing on the fact that now I have spiritual power in the Holy Spirit and I can and will do better. See, do we have a holy mindset? A hopeful mindset, a godly mindset, a scriptural mindset? Or are we selfishly stuck in the past, not wanting to fully move into our new nature as God's creation? See, the Holy Spirit changes the way that we think. It guides the way that we think. It gives us a new and better picture that we can switch our minds to. Sometimes we do have uncontrollable thinking. You can't keep everything from coming into your mind, but you can stop from dwelling upon it. And the way we do it is we switch the picture, change the channel from our old nature to our new nature. Yet God changes our mindset. And as he changes our mindset, he gives us an ability, a new ability to say no. Just say no to that. And change the thought pattern, the picture in your mind. Verses 9 and 10. You are controlled by the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God living in you. The Spirit gives you life. A new ability. A renewed way of thinking. You're still going to be you. But you're going to be the better you you can be. Because it's now not all human effort. It's human effort empowered by God's effort inside of us to bring sanctification and change to our mind, our emotions, to our heart and our soul. Now, the truth that we need a little help by the Holy Spirit to say no is, well, what can't you say no to? Oh, and I know everybody's got something on that list. And it could be something small like chocolate when you're on a diet. It could be shopping when you're on a budget. It could be doing too much of this and this cluttering your schedule so you don't have time to do the things that God would have you do. And it could be larger, more consuming things like addiction. What we watch on our computers. Who we are when no one is looking at us. See, we all have something that we can't say no to in our own power. And I would venture to say this morning that you have something that you need to put before God and ask Him to give you the power to say no to that instead of keep saying yes to that. And our choice is that we can feel a lot of guilt and shame, or we can receive forgiveness and power and understand that the Holy Spirit changes our mindset. So now instead of saying yes, 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 we are now in a position that we can say no. No to the things that we should say no to. Let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of your old human nature. Galatians 5:16. Yes, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit brings a paradigm shift to our thinking and a paradigm shift to our deciding. Because with a renewed mind, Paul says, yes, you can say no to the things that are hard to say no to. Those things that have been a part of our old nature for so long, they feel so familiar and normal. Now, through the Holy Spirit's power, we can and should say no. And close that door so that God might open a better door up ahead for us. Move us in a better direction, a healthier direction. A more sanctified direction. We need to remind ourselves about what Jesus has done and what the benefits are that we reap as God's children. And that adjusts our mind, it adjusts our thinking and our decision making. And add to that the idea that we need to have a long-term view of life instead of a short-term view of life. We need to keep our eyes upon Jesus and upon heaven. And remind ourselves we're going to spend a lot more time in heaven than we do down here. Here's a great declaration in God's word. Verses 23 and 24. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adoptive children, including the new bodies he has promised for us. Now, I'll just stop for a moment. Well, if we're going to just float around on a cloud and strum a lyre, what do we need a new body for? Ooh, that's a great question. I'm going to answer that up ahead in one of my messages. We're going to need a new body because we're going to be a part of the new earth. Why? Earth is where, is where human beings belong. The environment God created for us as human beings. And so we will need that new body. I look forward to that too. The older I get. We were given this hope when we were saved. See, in that moment, the old passes away. Behold, the new has come. And we need to keep our vision on that newness that God is bringing. The hope of heaven. That yes, God wants to bring to fruition all of his promises in our life. And he will either in this life or in the life to come. And those are all good things. They're great things. Perfect things for us. And so we need to stay focused on that. And for me, I need to stay focused on that when things are not going well in my life. When things become challenging, when things become all too human, when things seem to be going along a negative path, no, God has a right path for me, for you. And what we need to do is hope and trust in those moments. And focus our mind, heart, and soul, as Paul says, upon God's love for us. Verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good. Sometimes we see that. Other times we won't see the good result of what we faced in a very difficult and dark time until we get to heaven. But we know this, God does not waste our pain. He uses it for our good. He uses it for the good of other people. God is working everything for good for those who love God and are called living according to his purpose for them. What is God calling us to? What is God's purpose for us? His call and his purpose is to be his children. His call and his purpose is to help us through the Holy Spirit put off our old nature so that we can put on our new nature. And as we put on that new nature, then we become his faithful followers. And our job is to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And as we do, we will declare his good news, the good news that we've experienced. And we'll go and we'll live that out. We'll talk to people about that. About salvation in Jesus Christ, and it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is the only name under heaven that will bring about salvation and eternity in our life. we do have to decide. God calls us. He sets before us a path of purpose, a heavenly path. He calls us, and we must choose to respond to that. Yes, once in time and space and salvation, but each and every day in discipleship. It is one day at a time, isn't it? Some days it's just one moment after another, putting off our old nature so that we can put on our new empowered nature. It's true, the biggest battle is within us. And so we must lean in, put off the old, enjoy the new. Let's pray. Lord, you know how our old nature has a tendency to creep in and seep in. And it's true, as we looked at your word a few weeks ago, if we don't fight that battle, we will be overtaken. And instead of being overtaken, Lord, help us to allow your peace that passes all human understanding to be ours. That your purpose, your eternal purpose for us, would become our daily purpose. And that, Lord, in our moments of weakness, that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit. We are thankful that you love us, that you forgive us, and that you give us always another tomorrow, either on this earth or in eternity with you. And so we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Feel free to stand or sit as we close with this last song.
So here it is, my alabaster heart. I'm keeping nothing back from who you hidden treasure veiled by key or lock. You're a lifetime worth of worship, and that's only just the start. So here it is, every waking day, the minutes, hours, and years of endless praise for your word. Every breath is an offering. every breath is an offering. My heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings.
Yes, Lord Jesus, we want this to be the prayer, and this is the cry of our heart. All our love, all our heart, all we own, all we have, because you are worthy, you're more than worthy to receive all the honor, all the glory forever and ever. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you've made a way to make things right with us. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for empowering us by your Holy Spirit so we can live for you and walk out the things that you've called us to do. We just bless your name this morning, Jesus. I pray for this church as we go out. Go before us. Hem us in behind. Continue to lead and speak and guide. And we just love you and thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys again for joining us. Wasn't that an encouraging message today? I was really blessed by that, knowing that the Holy Spirit will lead us and enable us to walk with Him. So may the Lord bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.